All right, Katie, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay, so in your left hand, you'll have the increase and decrease bar, and in your right hand, you'll be submitting, okay?
Great.
If you're ready, we'll go ahead and start the scan, okay? Here we go.
Inside a giant magnetic scanner, volunteers at the Virginia Tech Carilion Research Institute have been playing games or doing mental exercises, helping Professor Reed Montague and his team figure out how our brains work in social situations.
I have $100. I offer you a split, 60 me, 40 you. If you accept that, then you get $40 and I get $60. Or you can reject it, in which case no one gets anything. So a rational choice economist would say you should accept all non-zero offers. In fact, people do not do this. People are indifferent at an 80 to 20 split. So 80 me, 20 you, half the time you'll accept and half the time you'll reject.
Montague says human history could explain why we sometimes act irrationally.
Back when we evolved these sensibilities, we were in small extended family groups, and rejecting an unfair offer left its mark in someone's nervous system, and it came back later on to engender more fair behavior in a future interaction.
But he's also made an intriguing discovery. This particular decision-making process activates a specific part of the brain, the anterior insula, which is also active when you're in pain. The more unfair the offer, the more activity Montague measures, unless you happen to practice mindful meditation. In those subjects, Montague found far less activity and a greater tendency to accept any offer. What's more, Montague has found a way to study human brains as they interact, using special software to link MRI scanners at research centers around the world.
You can run multiple scanners at the same time and therefore study larger numbers of people.
Mike Friedlander is executive director of the Virginia Tech Carilion Research Institute.
But secondly, it lets you actually measure very precisely what the level of activity is in one area or another as brain A is interacting with brain B. So this really is moving the fields of psychiatry to a new dimension. It's kind of like thinking about cardiology. We'd be surprised to imagine a cardiologist who wasn't able to precisely measure how the blood flow in our heart might have changed. Let's say we have a blockage in a coronary artery. One cardiologist can do an angiogram and say to another, you have a 73% restriction in blood flow to that artery. That's a very precise measurement that any cardiologist would understand. When you come to the world of psychiatry and neurology and looking at behavioral disorders, trying to put precise numbers on the effects has been very challenging. But what Reed Montague and his colleagues call computational psychiatry is bringing the field of psychiatry into the world of modern scientific medicine, like so many other disciplines.
Already, he says, Dr. Montague and his team have identified one measurable component of autism.
They have a part of the brain, it's called the cingulate cortex, and there's a pattern of activation in that part of the brain that signifies whether something that's just happened can be attributed to oneself or to the other person. And Dr. Montague and his colleagues found that map is functionally rearranged in the brains of people with, in this case, Asperger's syndrome.
This effort to find new ways of diagnosing brain disorders could lead to new treatments, and it's promising enough to attract funding from the National Institutes of Health and collaborators from as far away as Hong Kong, Korea, Germany, Norway, and England. This is Sandy Houseman reporting.